Is it true that when you were doing a showcase, it was on a boat and you had all these radio people there and the waves were real bad and everybody just started throwing up all over the place? Is that a true story?
That actually happened, yeah.
So walk me through what that is like as a new artist trying
Yeah,
to go, "Hey, this is my new music. This is who I am." Sorry, you're throwing up everywhere.
I was like one of three people who wasn't yakking all over the yacht, man. It was a brutal trip, but
And that makes it a little suspect if you're the only one not throwing up.
right? Yeah, it was crazy, man. Everybody was just like getting seasick and like going down under the boat. Like it was like a madhouse. There was like two bathrooms on the boat, right? One of them was downstairs, and eventually there was just one because the bottom one was just like out of order.
No.
It
No.
was rough, man. But
So were you playing songs for the, you weren't playing on the boat then. So that was just on the trip over, right? Or were you
right.
playing while people were throwing up during your music?
No, God, that would have been awful, dude.
Okay.
That would have really been a story.
Obviously you're jumping into the spotlight a little bit more, but I, you know, again, you came on the scene and everybody kind of has these stories about you, which when you were writing with Tyler Hubbard and Kid Myself kind of became a product of that too. Going into that, some of your writing has changed since then, where you kind of learned to be a little more vulnerable and dive into some of those spaces. What was that transition when you were coming from kind of writing whatever you were writing to where you got to for Kid Myself?
When we were putting this album together, I knew that there was one of the people at my label was like, "Hey, I feel like you're missing something that really opens you up and like, talks about something that happened that's really personal." So I was like, "Ah, whatever, we got it covered, And sure enough, the next week, ended up writing, like you said, with Tyler. It was my first time writing with him, and I'd stayed up all night the night before trying to come up with a good idea to bring in the room, and came across that title on my phone, Kid Myself, and matched it with a voice memo that I came across as well, that I'd put down a little while back, and it was just a little simple guitar riff. And so I just basically wrote a scratch chorus and tried to set the hook up as well as I could, and brought it in the next day, and Tyler and Jordan Schmidt helped me get it across the finish line. But yeah, it was something that I was just like, I don't know that necessarily, like, I've written stuff like that before. It just hasn't necessarily been true to me, all the way through, just about. You know what I mean? I think that was the tedious part of it, was just like, how do I say this? Because, I got three kids now, I'm married, like everything's good, but it is something that I lived through, and I think a lot of people go through that at some point in their life, where somebody either breaks their heart, or you were just in a bad spot and it was bad timing with you and that other person, and you really feel like, maybe if you went back you could probably do things a little better, and that was the whole sense of the story to me, was like, not necessarily me looking back on, man, I wish I would have. It's more of like, yeah, I apologize for not being the person I am now for her, right? Like that's the sentiment that I was trying to get across. So yeah, it's definitely one that's pretty close to home.
Do you attribute anything in that room that made you go from when you were kind of skeptical of what you were told, and you're like, "Yeah, I'll be vulnerable when I whatever," to where you are, it seems like now, where you're like, "Yeah, I can put myself back in those tough places, and I see the value in that now." Was there something that happened in the room that got you there, or was it gradual?
I don't know if it was necessarily something that I was thinking about or conscious of while we were writing, but I think good co-writers are good at bringing stuff out, especially if it's your idea. Tyler just was just asking me, questions about it. We just small talking about it, and I think it would just spark something for him. And I know I'm not an open book kind of guy, right? Like, I'm not gonna sit here and complain about my feelings or tell you about, whatever, but when I get in a writing room, I know how much that contributes when I'm on the other end of it and I'm trying to pull something out of somebody that has an idea. Like, I know how much it can help. And so that kind of allowed me to feel good about, sharing some stuff in the room and getting it to where it needed to be.
Sounded like Tyler did some like psychotherapy on you and kind of got you to where you needed to be without telling you how to get
Yeah.
there.
He's a dog, man. He's a dog.
That's awesome. So what if you were talking to some other writers that were coming up, some brand new, let's say writers, and you know, what would be your advice to those people in Nashville that are like, okay, I'm trying to get to now where you're just starting to hit?
You know, people call it luck, involved in this industry. And I don't disagree. I do think there is something to say about a work ethic, somebody's work ethic, though. I really believe that, you know, even for myself, I've never walked into a room saying I'm the best guy in this room, you know, but I do know that I will outwork everybody in that room if I need to. And that's the mentality that I feel like a lot of people don't have. They're not willing to speak up when you need to speak up. And I'm a pretty recluse guy. Like, I don't, it takes a lot to offend me. It takes a lot to get me riled up. But you know, when I feel like we're on a good idea, I don't want to burn that idea because we have filler lines in the verse, or we have, you know, the setup line is not as strong as it could be. You know, like, those are the things where I'll be like, I just don't know, man. I don't know if it's right. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but I don't know if it's right, you know, and just spark that question to make, you know, somebody like a Tyler, like, rethink it from a different perspective, because he's going to get it eventually. You know, I think it just takes people, especially if you're co-writing, that it takes allowing yourself to, like, be bold enough to tell a hit songwriter, like, I just don't know if that's, I don't know if it's right on the head. You know what I mean? And but that's one thing I was told early on, like, you know, speak up if it's your idea, especially, like, make sure it's where you want it to be.
That's
So.
great. Yeah, it can't be easy if you're like, yeah, I know you've written like a million number one hits, but I don't know about
Well,
this one. Yeah, I
there's
can
a way
still
to
get that'd
do
be
it
awesome.
too. Yeah,
Sure.
there's a way to do it, man. I think you got to learn how to do that. And, you know, for me too, it's like, you know, my intention is I want to write a hit song too with you. Like, I want us to both have a hit song at the end of the day. And I think
That's
if
the
you
nature
portray
of the collaboration, right? Is the idea, and that you get to a place where you're having success, to get to a successful place, not to just get something done, right? So if the
that. Right.
goal is to get something great, put in the work to do it. Now that you're, I don't know, shifting a little bit more towards being a performer and an artist, and putting out your with your album coming out on the 25th and everything, has your process of what songs you're writing for yourself and what songs you're writing for other people changed, and how you make that decision?
Not yet, man. I think that,
I know
dude, I
it's still
don't know.
fresh.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. I think my mentality is, again, I had some writers that, you know, are veterans that have been in town and written a lot of hits. They just, you know, I would confide in them, and they would just be like, man, one in particular, was like, man, if it were me, I would write the best idea in the room. Don't try to pigeonhole it and make it, oh, it's about me, or I need a hit, or this or that. It's like, write the best idea and live with it. And if it doesn't get old to you after 4 or 5 years, like, some of these songs on this album are 5 years old. And so I knew that if I wasn't tired of them by then, hopefully it would have the same effect on the listeners, you know, when it comes out. And so you know, I was fortunate to have that time to live with them. But I'll say this, man, like, you know, there's a lot that goes on to putting a project together, but really, it's all in the song to me. Like, you gotta have it starts with the song, you know, and it starts with, you know, making sure, like I said, writing the best idea. I always took the approach, since I did start as a songwriter first, I always have always taken the approach that it's a pitch first. Like, no matter what, I'm gonna pitch this song. If I pitch it, like, for instance, one of the cuts I got on Thomas Rhett's last record was a song that he heard through a third party. Somebody sent him the song, and he literally called me up and was like, man, I connected with this song. This is me and my wife's story, like, all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm a signs guy, so I'm like, it's obviously meant for him. It wasn't meant for me. You know what I mean? So thankfully, there's times like that that you have confirmation that you made the right move. And then there's other ones like Trouble with a Heartbreak, where you're like, yeah, dang, I might should have held on to
I should right.
that
I was gonna say there's probably going to be a little bit of both. There's going to be those ones that are so close to you, but if somebody else, you know, it feels maybe somebody else for somebody else to perform it might feel right also. And now, I mean, you have your album coming out on the 25th. You have Carolina Blue, but and you're already seeing success with Friends Like That, obviously, with the number ones you've already written, and you already have hit songs under your belt. Now that it's your album and your music and your name on the front of it, what would make this successful for you? What would make you feel like this album that was a success?
You know what, man? I think just the overall response, I'm curious to see what songs people really vibe with and that they are attracted to off of this record. I'm hoping that it will kind of be spread out just because that was kind of my goal. A lot of my influences in the on the music side of things, like coming up, Ronnie Milsap, Keith Whitley, like you never know. You never knew what when you put on one of their albums, what sonically what was going to come next. It could be a horn section, it could be a violin, it could be a piano, it could be a steel guitar. But when those guys started singing, you knew who it was, and that was kind of the approach that I took because I love all kinds of different music too. And so I wanted to kind of showcase the taste of music that I kind of grew up on and stuff that I was digging now. And try to put it all, tie it all together somehow. And I think that a lot of that has to do with, the vocal and the song and the lyric and everything.
Carolina Blue is coming out. What song on that album do you think is most important to you? Like, if somebody said, "I want that song," the biggest artist in the world said, "I want that song," that you would say, "Not gonna happen, man. Sorry."
Oh, that's tough, man. I really, one of my favorites off the album is Without 'Em. That song has a special meaning to me. It's one of the ones on the project that has a little more meat on it. It's something that's it's a little bit more than a talking about a relationship or anything like that. It's something that I really connect with from my upbringing and how I was brought up in North Carolina and the community that kind of surrounded me and helped me help shape me into who I am today even. And so it's just that one's kind of a tip of the hat back to all the blue collar workers back home that kind of get underappreciated a lot of times when they should be putting the spotlight a lot more. And so hopefully people can resonate with that song.
Sure, I love that. And finally, I see you're rocking the stash, man, the hard stash. Who do you think has the best mustache of all time in country music? Who's your number one
Oh,
mustache?
golly, man.
I
There's
know
so
the
many
hard-hitting
good ones.
questions.
So many good ones. Dude, I mean, it's hard to beat Johnny Paycheck. Come on now.
Fair.
That man is wild. He's got a stash to go with it. You know what I'm saying? He's one of my go-tos, man. He was definitely an inspiration for growing the stash out.
Yep, everyone's got to have role models to look up to, you know?
That's right.
That's you. Well, I appreciate you, man, and excited for you on the 25th Carolina Blue comes out.